think we'd all agree that Albert Einstein was a pretty bright guy. He was a physicist, but he also did a lot of thinking about religion and spiritual things, and he had an illustration for what we can know about God. He said that when I look at a clock, I can assume that there is a clockmaker. He said, we know that there was someone who made this clock. But when I look at that clock, I cannot know anything about that clockmaker. And Einstein applied this to God, our knowledge of God. He said, when we look at the creation, we look around and there's plenty of evidence that points us to the existence of God. But when we look at that creation, we can't possibly think that we can know anything about God as a person. Einstein was comfortable with the idea that we can know that there is a God, but not that we can know God. And that's a pretty common statement that we hear today. How many of you have heard the statement that our human minds are so small and limited that we cannot possibly conceive or know a God that is so big and great and infinite? Have any of you heard that? No? Yes? A few of you? Okay. What do we do with that? Can we know God? When I hear someone say that to me, that our human minds are just too small and limited to actually know anything about this great God who created the world, the first thing I do is to agree. If we look at this diagram up here, they said we look at this world and we can't know just by looking at the world anything too deep, at least, about God. And our minds are way too limited to be able to grasp and fully understand God, to figure God out or to discover God on our own. We just can't do it on our own. And so in that sense, that argument is right. On the other hand, though, I have to disagree. And to show you why, let's just do a little activity. I have a number in my mind between 1 and 1 million. Now, do you think you can know that, what that number is, with any degree of certainty? No? Is there any way that you could take this impossible task and you could actually know what number I'm thinking? Any way? Ask me. And if I told you, right? If I told you. That's why I only agree with half the statement. Because no, our human minds in themselves do not have the capability to know all about God, to know who He is and what He's like. But God has told us. God reveals Himself to us. There's this biblical category called revelation, that God, in His love for us, reveals Himself. It's not that we figure God out or discover God or master God or grasp God, but God has given us this gift of knowing Him because He wants relationship with us. That's what we're going to be talking about during the season of Advent, because Advent is really about God letting us know Him, letting us see Him, letting us experience Him. And so we're going to talk about revelation, not the book, okay, not the end of the Bible, but this idea of revelation, that God reveals Himself to us, that He tells us what He's like, who He is, so that we can know Him and interact with Him. Now, in theology, bear with me for a moment. In theology, there are these two categories of revelation. The first is general revelation, and that's what Einstein's going on. General revelation is accessible to anyone. It's knowledge of God based on the creation. And general revelation can lead us to the conclusion that God exists and maybe give us just a little bit of a glimpse into what God is like. But general revelation is very limited. There is also a category called special revelation, where God has given us more than just looking around us at the creation to go on, that God has spoken to us and revealed Himself to us on a deeper level. And God has revealed Himself to us in many ways. And this morning, we're focusing on the idea that we have a God who speaks. Our God is a God who speaks, and you can see it, hopefully, we've got the wreath kind of in there, but that's our theme, that God reveals himself by speaking to us. That's just one of the ways that God has revealed himself to us. So this morning, I just want to look at why God speaks. I have five reasons, I think, that we see in the text in Exodus, why God speaks to us, and then talk about how we respond. So why God speaks? Well, first of all, God speaks because when God speaks, things happen. When God speaks, things happen. Now, when we speak, things don't always happen. Part of that reason is because our speech is oftentimes filled with trivial things, facts or complaints that really no one can do anything about. But when God speaks, things happen. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. When God speaks to Moses here, he's revealing himself to Moses, and something is about to happen. God isn't just talking. He is about to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt and bring them into the promised land. This is going to happen. When Jesus spoke, he spoke one time when there was a huge storm and he was with his disciples on the water. And all he did was say, "Cease, be still." And the storm stopped. There was a man lying on a mat, paralyzed. And Jesus spoke and said, "Pick up your mat and walk." And the man picked up his mat and walked. When God speaks, things happen. There's a great illustration of this in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11, about God speaking. And it starts out by giving us an analogy. It says, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater." So they're saying, when rain comes down, things happen. Life comes up. Plant life. We get food that we can eat. Things happen when rain comes down. "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth," says God. "It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it." God's word brings a harvest when it comes down. God's words are creative, they're redemptive, they liberate, they transform, they heal. God speaks because when God speaks, things happen. Second, God speaks because God wants us to know him. God wants us to know him. Einstein could not believe that God was a personal God. But that is exactly what the scriptures tell us, that God is a personal God. He wants us to know him, and so he speaks. He reveals not just that he exists to Moses, he reveals something of who he is. He calls out to Moses, and Moses says, "Here I am." And then he said, "Come no closer, remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He says to Moses, "I am a holy God. I'm not just this buddy-buddy. I am a holy God who is different than you. There is no one like me." He reveals to Moses that he is a faithful God. He calls back to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and says, "I'm going to fulfill this covenant that I made with them. I'm going to keep that covenant." In verse 23 of chapter 2, or 24, God heard their groaning and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God keeps his covenant, just like we saw with Moses. And he reveals to, or just like we saw with Noah, and he reveals to Moses, "I am keeping my promises. I'm a faithful God." And he reveals to Moses that he's a compassionate God. He says, "I've heard your cries. I know that you're oppressed. I hear you. I'm going to have compassion on you." Finally, he reveals a name. Yahweh, "I am, the one who is." He wants to be called personally by his name. And so he gives Moses a name for himself, which is the height of being personal with someone, is knowing their name. Part of the problem with the argument that God is too great that we can possibly know him is that it doesn't take into account the fact that if God is so great, he can make himself known to us. God is great enough to allow us to know him, and he does. God speaks because God wants us to know him. Third, God speaks because God's word brings hope to his people. Notice when God speaks. Back in Genesis 1, It said the earth was a formless void and darkness covered the earth. And God speaks and says, let there be light. Into formlessness and emptiness and chaos and darkness, God speaks and brings light. God spoke to Abram. We saw last week. God spoke to Abram when? When Abram was old, his wife was barren, when things were hopeless for them, God spoke to Abram and said, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. God's word brought hope. And here, God speaks. When the Israelites are oppressed at their low point, they're suffering, they're groaning out to God, they're calling out to Him, they're crying out and wondering if there's any hope. And so God speaks and brings them hope. God speaks because He wants us to have hope. So He says, I hear you, I love you, I am faithful, I can save you, and I'm going to do that. Fourth, God speaks because God wants us to see what He's doing. God wants us to see what He is doing. He wants to open our eyes up to understand the world. God is saying, the world is not just the world that Einstein saw, just the things that we can see and touch and taste and smell and hear. There is more to this world, and we need someone to open up our eyes to that, to show that there is more to the world than what our senses can perceive. There's more to history than what we read in our history books. And so God speaks, and He tells Moses exactly what He's going to do. He says, I've observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I've heard their cry. I know their sufferings. And I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. He tells Moses exactly what he's doing. He says, your hope is not just in what you see. If you look at what you see, there's not much hope. Your people are oppressed and suffering. But I am going to do something. I want to open your eyes to something that's going to happen beyond what you would expect from just looking around you. And the scriptures are a story about what God is doing. As we read the biblical story, we start to see patterns into the kind of things God does. We hear promises about what God is going to do. God wants us to know what He's doing. Because fifth, God speaks because God wants us to join Him. He wants us to join Him. He tells Moses exactly what he's going to do. And then in verse 10, he says, so come, I will send you to Pharaoh. He wants us to join in. This is not a unilateral thing. God says, come, be a part of what I'm doing. Just like a father might want his son to be a part of this construction project that he's working on. He might not bring anything to it, but he just wants him to join in and be a part of what's happening. God reveals His purposes. He tells us this story so that we can join in. As hesitant as we might be to do that, Moses was certainly hesitant. He had all kinds of excuses why he didn't want to join in. But God says, I want you to join in. I want you to be a part of what I'm doing. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh. And He sends him to Pharaoh. And in chapter 5, tells us a little bit about what happens. After Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, thus says the Lord. They said, the Lord has spoken. The God of Israel says, let my people go so that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord? Who is Yahweh that I should heed Him and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Moses says, and Aaron say, the God of the Hebrews has revealed Himself to us. They boldly say, God has spoken. He's brought us hope. He's allowed us to know Him. You don't know Him, but God has revealed Himself so we know Him. He is doing something great, and He's asked us to be a part of it. God is revealing Himself to us. God speaks for all of these reasons. Our God is a God who speaks, who with His Word creates and transforms and initiates relationship with us and brings hope and opens our eyes to what's really going on and invites us to join in. So what? So how do we respond? How do we respond? Well, according to the biblical story, Exodus is just the first movement in what God is doing, the first chapter in how God is revealing Himself. We looked at our passage in Hebrews, one of my favorite passages. says, long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. Prophets like Moses and Elijah and Isaiah and Samuel. God spoke through the prophets. But it says, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son. Jesus is the Word of God. He appointed him heir of all things, through whom also he created the worlds. He, Jesus, is the reflection of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's very being. And he sustains all things by his powerful word. God has spoken to us through his Son. Jesus is God's final word to us. So that if we want to see what God is doing and hear what God is saying and know who God is, we look at Jesus, the living, breathing, walking Word of God, who transforms and redeems and brings hope and life. The question that we have for us is, are we listening? If God is speaking, are we listening? God wants you to know Him. He wants you to know Him. And this is not some ethereal concept, like we kind of have to just sit back and kind of imbibe the energy of godness or something in us. God has spoken to us very specifically and clearly because God wants you to know Him. I think many of us wish we could hear God's voice like Moses. Just get that assurance. Have any of you ever wished that God would just speak to you? Anyone? Just me? Wanted to hear a word from God that you could just hear and know that God was speaking to you? Well, first of all, Moses isn't too excited about it, so just be careful what you wish for. But I'm afraid that if God would speak to many of us, we wouldn't recognize his voice. If God were speaking to us. If we want to recognize God's voice, we have to listen to what he's already said. To listen to the scriptures. Learn God's voice. He's spoken through prophets like Moses. We get to hear what kinds of things God has to say to us. He's spoken to us through his Son. Through Jesus. God's final word. Are we listening to the words that God has spoken so we can recognize what God is speaking to us now? It's kind of like listening to your favorite band. You listen to song after song, album after album. You have them playing in your house, in your car radio, on your headphones while you're working out. You know that band, right? And so in the midst of a radio channel that plays all kinds of songs, when your favorite band's song comes on, even if you've never heard it before, you know that that is their song. Because you've studied them, you've listened to them, you recognize their chord patterns and their voices. You know their voice, you know their sound. That is how we recognize God's voice, as we listen to the scriptures. What does God's voice sound like? I study these scriptures, and then I can hear God's voice when he actually speaks and know that it's him. Because there are lots of voices speaking to us. Voices from our culture, voices from inside of us, voices from our family members, and all over the place, all kinds of voices. And some even try and imitate God's voice. We need to be able to recognize God's voice when he's speaking to us. This Advent season, we're celebrating the fact that even though we can't discover God on our own, figure him all out, or master him, God has spoken. Are we listening? And I want to encourage you to let this Advent season be a time where you learn to listen to God, where you quiet some of those other voices in your life and focus on listening to what God is saying to you. And I want to give you three very specific ways you can do that. First, we've talked a lot about our focus group ministry. It started. The groups are going. In those focus groups, your focus group leaders aren't just going to tell you what God says. They're going to help you to listen to what God is saying together as a community. And so I encourage you, be a part of one of those focus groups. Join a focus group. Learn how to listen to God within that little community that's trying, that's gathering together just to hear God speaking to them. So that's one way. Second, I talked last week about these devotionals that we have for Advent that have little bits of what God is of God's word that we can hear on a daily basis, and you take time out for that. Now, unfortunately, someone was ordering them and forgot to actually check out online. You know, I don't know who that was. But those are coming in hopefully Tuesday, okay? But I encourage you, and we'll have them next week. And if you want them before that, please talk to me and we'll find a way to get them to you, because it was my mistake, and I'll deliver them if you want. But these are just ways to every day during the season of Advent get a little a snippet of what God has to say and hear someone's reflection on them. Just quiet those other voices for a moment and listen to what God has to say. So we're going to have those devotionals for you. And third is very simply, open up your Bibles during Advent. Let this be a time to start. And if that's intimidating for you, and I know that the Bible can be very intimidating, if you don't know where to start or know really how you even listen to God in the Bible, well, this Advent season, talk to me. And we'll sit down and we'll come up with a plan for you to kind of listen to those scriptures, listen to God's voice and hear them. That's my job, not just to tell you on Sunday what God says, but to help you to listen on your own. So we will come up with a time during Advent if you want to open up your Bibles and get going on that. Three ways to be listening to God this season. A big part of the holiday season is presents. We buy them, we wrap them, we unwrap them. The season is about a gift that God has given us. The gift that God has allowed us to know Him and shown and spoken through His Son Jesus. I encourage you this Advent season to begin or begin again unwrapping that gift little by little as you listen to God speaking to you. Let's pray. Lord God, you are good. You have seen fit to reveal yourself to us, to allow us to know you. Lord, help us to really praise you and appreciate what a gift that is. Lord, help us to be attentive to your voice. Help us to know when it is your voice calling out to us. Lord, help us to know how we can join in, be a part of what you're doing, be a part of a relationship with you, be a part of bringing light and hope to the world. Lord, we ask this all in the name of your Son, your final word, Jesus. Amen.